Lately I've been waking up alone. Pain splattered teardrops on my shirt. Told you I'd let them go.
All things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. And I am your host, DJ Stellar. I am your host, DJ Stellar, like you just heard my voice say. And you are listening to It's a Trap, all things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is 4 o'clock. Oh, 4:01. Darn it, I started late. I'm so sorry. It is Tuesday, March 22nd, and I hope that everything is just stellar with you and yours. Today, in Star Wars history, I want to let you know that in 1976... On Tuesday, March 22nd, 1976, this is when they started principal photography for Star Wars in Tunisia. So, holla, we could have been there, but we're not. Listen, today we're going over Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. And we got a lot to cover, but first, I'm going to give you a few facts of the film. Because who doesn't like to have a little background information? Am I right or am I right? I am right. This movie was released in 1980. It had an $18 million budget. And as of 1997, it made $290 million. And that made it the highest grossing film of 1980. No doubt. Without question. So, as per the usual, I gotta give you guys some starcabulary to get us started. Now, a couple of these things you've heard before, so don't be shocked when your Star Wars knowledge surpasses what you think it does, because you already know some things. But the first starcabulary term that I would like to bless you with is the AT-AT, and these were... you haven't actually heard about these yet, so psych, everything I just said is a lie. But these were all-terrain armored transports, and they were used by the Empire. And you're going to hear about them in this episode today, so just store that piece of knowledge in the back of your brain, because it'll come back. They were heavily armored land vehicles, and obviously they were in the Imperial Army, and they kind of walked like elephants. And it's funny because when this movie was being made and they were creating the AT-ATs, they actually studied elephants and how they walked to kind of recreate that with the AT-ATs. So, interesting little fact for you. Another one is the Millennium Falcon, and obviously you guys know... Oh, sorry, another thing about the AT-ATs, they were inspired by the Walkers in War of the Worlds, and they were based on, like, also gantry cranes used in shipping ports here in the U.S., so that was kind of an interesting thing that I thought also. Now, the Millennium Falcon, you guys obviously know about this already. It's kind of an integral part in the entire Star Wars series, all of it. It was a light freighter used by smugglers, and obviously our favorite smuggler, Han Solo, is the one that's using it in... what we've seen so far. But it was originally owned by Lando Calrissian, who is somebody that we're going to meet in this episode today. So get ready, all you Lando fandos. Finally, the final term is a Wampa. Now, Wampas are kind of... When I first saw it, I thought it was kind of cute because, again, it's just a big teddy bear-looking situation. But they're vicious and evil and disgusting in every way. So they're ice creatures. They are white-furred and carnivorous, and they reside on the planet Hoth, which is another thing you're going to learn about today. So if you don't know any of those terms that I just said, it's okay. We're going to learn together, friends. So, as I said, we are diving into Star Wars Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back, and the episode that we left off on, Star Wars Episode 4, math, is the last scene that we saw was Luke, Han, and Chewie getting awarded for their bravery in destroying the Death Star, and that majestic scene where everybody's dressed in white and they're all clean and the droids are all shiny. It was terrific, actually. So, anyway, let's dive on in, shall we, to Star Wars Episode 5. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to radio.dominican.edu. It's a trap, all things Star Wars. Here we go, folks. So, Luke is on a rebel base, and he's kind of wandering around this planet, and it's all snowy, all white, everything. And he sees something that looks like a meteor hitting the ground near him, and he's like, yo, what's that? And so as he's turning around to go check out what the meteor is, he gets knocked unconscious by a Wampa, which you already know what it is, so I don't need to say anything about it. So then we cut back to the Rebel base that's also on Hoth, and Han Solo announces that he's going to pay off Jabba the Hutt for all of the debts that he owes him. He had debts that carried over from Episode 4, and he's just now deciding that this is going to be a good time to kind of pay off all those debts. And at this point, Leia's a little heated with him because she's kind of got the hots for him. She's like, bro, seriously, you're gonna leave right now? So he's gonna leave, but then he finds out that Luke hasn't come back yet, and he kind of freaks out because Luke's like his best pal and he's worried about him. I think he's more of like a almost like a little brother to Han. And so he's worried about his safety and where he's at. So he goes off to find him, and he's pretty much everybody's warning him, bro, you can't do that because you're literally gonna die in the freezing cold. But he's like, nah, dude, my anger will fuel me. I don't know what he says. Anyway, Luke is obviously captured by the Wampa, and he's hanging upside down. And there's one scene where he grabs his lightsaber while he's hanging upside down with the Force, and he cuts himself loose, makes minced meat of the Wampa, and he's like, peace out, I'm out. But then he goes outside and he gets knocked out by the cold because obviously he's hanging upside down for like an hour. He should be dead, but he's not because he's Luke Skywalker, and if we didn't have Luke Skywalker, would we even have a movie? I don't think so. So anyway, he gets outside and it's way too cold for him to live in, so he just passes out in the snow. But then he sees Obi-Wan's Force ghost, and it tells Obi-Wan tells Luke to go find Yoda. And when he finds Yoda, he needs to train with him to become a Jedi. So Han finds Luke passed out in the snow, and this is so gross. He cuts open his tauntaun, and it's disgusting. I mean, I feel like it smells nasty, but he throws Luke inside until he can make a little shelter, a little igloo for them. And this is funny because this is actually an American Indian trick that an Indian hunter that was, he killed a bear, and then he was trapped by a blizzard, so he cut open the bear and lodged himself inside to keep warm. So, hey, there's a little reference for you. So anyway, they're stuck out in the snow in this blizzard, and the Rebel Patrol finds them, and they go out and send a ship for them, and ultimately they nurse Luke back to health when they get back to the base. So then Han and Chewie go back to the meteor to find out what it was, and they realize that it was a probe droid. And at that point, it's too late. Vader already knows where their location is, and he's already kind of seen all the things that he needs to see about where the Rebel base is. So then the Empire starts an attack on the Rebels with 12 AT-AT walkers. And these things are massive. I don't know if I said that, but they're huge and very intimidating. And like I said, they walk like elephants, so that'll give you a little mental picture. After that, Luke's better now, and he leads this flying kind of attack leads the speeders into a battle against the AT-ATs. And pretty much the Empire, they lose a couple AT-AT walkers, and other than that, they pretty much destroy the generator and take over the Rebel base. So, sucks to suck if you are with the Rebels at this point. But Solo, Leia, and Chewie, and C-3PO escape on the Millennium Falcon. So, holla, that piece of junk coming in clutch once again. The Millennium Falcon, however, gets caught in an asteroid field of Hoth's outer rim system. So, they have to hide inside of a crater. And while this is all going on, Luke and R2-D2 are escaping, and Luke crash lands on Dagobah, which is where he's supposed to find Yoda, which is what Obi-Wan's Force Ghost told him. But I think this is weird because this is like the third time, not the third time, that's an exaggeration, but Luke just goes and does his own thing. Like, the Rebels are gonna regroup in another location, and he's like, nah, I ain't gonna do it. And he just goes in some other direction, like, all right, dude, do your own thing. We don't even care anymore. So Yoda finds Luke, and obviously he doesn't reveal his identity. So Luke's kind of perturbed by him until Yoda says, I can take you to Yoda because I know where he's at. And then Luke's like, down with the get down. Let's do this, dude. Let's go find Yoda. So Yoda's like taking Luke's food as they're sitting around and playing with all of his things that he's brought on his ship. And Luke's just getting more and more annoyed with him. But he ultimately reveals his identity to Luke when they get into his house. And Luke then is like, well, Obi-Wan told me that you would train me to become a Jedi. And Yoda's like, dude, you're way too old. I can't train you. Which I think is weird, too, because Luke is, what, like, 20s? Probably early 20s in this movie. And it's obvious that he's way too old. But Anakin, in Star Wars Episode 1, he was too old at, like, 11. So, obviously, if Anakin was too old to train, then, yeah, Luke's gonna be too old. But, yeah, that's another fight for another day, I guess. So then, Obi-Wan and Luke convince Yoda that Luke can do it and he'll put his nose to the grindstone and all that good stuff. So, Yoda kind of agrees. Well, he doesn't really agree, but he's like, you should be scared of the Force. So, there you go. Then, nothing's really going on with, back at the Millennium Falcon. They're kind of stuck in this crater because they're hiding from the Empire. But the most important part is that Han and Leia kiss at this point, and that kind of is like a ow-ow moment, because we're all just waiting for it to happen, and there it is. So then Darth Vader sends in a droid to look for the Millennium Falcon, and the droid returns and says that the Falcon was destroyed, but at this point, Darth Vader is warned about Luke. So there's a big explosion that happens, and the crater that they think they're on shakes around and stuff, and Han realizes that they're not, in fact, in the cave of a crater, but they're inside the mouth of a space slug. So they realize that they're standing on this tongue, and it looks disgusting in every way. It's all mushy and ugh, gross. I bet that smells bad, too. So anyway, they barely escape because the creature realizes he's hungry, and he has food just waiting in his mouth for him. And then on board Darth Vader's ship, Darth Vader gets all the bounty hunters together to find the Millennium Falcon. And this is where we see Boba Fett, and he's coming in clutch. He is ready to find some rebel scum, as they call them. So then Han decides that the best decision for them is to go to Cloud City, which is run by his friend Lando Calrissian. And he feels like that would be the safest place for them, so they all go there. However, on the way to Cloud City, Boba Fett finds them and follows them. So he's kind of given away the location to Darth Vader as they go, so that's stellar. Luke is continuing his rigorous training on Dagobah. There's scenes where Yoda's on his back and he's carrying him around, running around with Yoda on his back, and it's all sweaty and gross. He's standing on his hands trying to lift his speeder out of the water. and all these kinds of things. So then he goes into this cave and he encounters Darth Vader. Well, he thinks it's Darth Vader, but it's just a vision. And he goes ahead and he cuts off the head of Darth Vader. And then the mask explodes and it reveals his own face under the mask. Oh no, what? We'll talk about that later, don't you worry. So then he comes out of the cave kind of a changed man, and he feels like he's found out all the ways of the Force. And in another vision, he sees Han and Leia suffering. And Yoda's like, dude, don't go. This is a trap. They're just trying to lure you in. And I mean, Yoda's right, because he's Yoda. So he goes anyway, but forget about Luke for a second, because we're going back to Han and Leia. So Lando welcomes the group to a meal. He's all happy and smiley about everything. And Leia can kind of sense something's wrong, but Han kind of reassures her. He's like, nah, dude, like, we're old friends. This guy's not going to betray us. Are you kidding me? But he does. Lo and behold, Lando walks them right into Darth Vader. And Lando's kind of like, dude, I'm real sorry, but Darth Vader said that I had no choice or they were going to invade my city and take all my people as slaves and captives. And so then Han is being tortured in order to lure Luke to come to the city. And also Chewie's being tortured, but I guess nobody really cares about that. It's fine. So Vader wants to freeze Luke in order to transport him to the Emperor. So he's like, well, we can't just assume that it's going to work. We should probably test it out. So they test it out on Han. And in this moment is when this iconic scene between Leia and Han happens, where Leia says, I love you, to Han, and Han says, I know. And this is funny because Harrison Ford wasn't actually sure if he was going to come back in the third movie. So the original line was supposed to say something like, just remember that, Leia, because I'll be back, or something like that. And he was like, I don't really know. He hadn't signed a contract. Luke and Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher had both signed 3-year contracts, but Harrison Ford only signed a two-movie contract. So he was like, I'm undecided at this point, so let's not leave any openings. So he just said, I know, and there was potential for him not to come back. But then the movie was a smashing success, so how could he not? Anyway, so then Han's frozen in carbonite, but he's alive in hibernation. And Boba Fett's like, can I have that or nah? So he takes Han frozen in carbonite as a little gift to Jabba the Hutt, and then their dues are kind of paid off at that point. Anyway, Luke makes it to Cloud City, and he is lured into the carbon freezing chamber. And then Luke and Darth Vader battle with their lightsabers. And as this is going on, Lando's private security force sets him and Leia and Chewie and the others free. So they all leave on the Millennium Falcon again. And Darth Vader and Luke continue to fight, and they kind of get, like, pushed into this narrow platform. And then Darth Vader cuts off Luke's hand, which is kind of a, like, father-like-son moment. Deja vu, holla. And Luke says that Darth Vader killed his father. And Darth Vader's like, nah, dude, you're wrong, because I'm your father. And that's another just iconic line that people just cry about. So then Darth Vader tries to get Luke to join the dark side, and he's like, bro, we can overcome the galaxy and the Emperor and all that good stuff. But Luke decides that it would be way more cool to throw himself off the small platform than to join his evil father. And at this point, Leia senses that something's wrong and that they need to go back to Cloud City, so they pull a U-turn in the Millennium Falcon and they find Luke hanging off of an antenna. So he drops into the ship, and the movie kind of ends with Luke getting a new hand, and Luke and Leia are watching the Millennium Falcon speed off into the galaxy when they're aboard the Rebel base. So again, the scene ends without any words, just like every other Star Wars movie before. So there you go, folks. That is our Star Wars Episode 5 recap, The Empire Strikes Back. We're going to go to a quick break, and stay tuned. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
never look and try to find my face again. Buried beneath this house, my spirit screams and dies again. Out back, a monster wears a cloak of Persian leather. Behind the TV screen, I fall into my knees. I said, you got me where you want me. Makes me wanna sink my teeth in deep. Burn all the evidence of fabricated disbelief. Pull back the curtains, took a look into your eyes. My tongue has now become a platform for your lies. I said you got me where you want me again, and I can't turn away. I'm hanging by. Flushed by all the fallen leaves, a hand holds up the sky while shamefully I make my plea. The altar's calling, but my legs won't seem to stand. Guess I'm a coward, scared to face the man I am. I said, you got me where you want me.
Listening to It's a Trap, all things Star Wars, on radio.dominican.edu. I am your host, DJ Stellar, and I'm being joined in the station by a fellow Star Wars lover, and his name is Lee. Say hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
Ah, there he is. Lee, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Lee's so excited to be here, right?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yes, he is. Now, Lee, you're wearing a Star Wars shirt, I see.
Yeah, you gave it to me.
I did. Not like now. Like, I gave it to you earlier.
Prior to this, yeah.
So, Lee and I are friends. And, we are. And, I asked him to come in and talk about Star Wars Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back, with me. Because we just watched it together a few days ago. Well, we watched most of it.
Most of it.
We're just gonna say that we watched a good deal of it. And yeah, so Lee, what? Who got you involved with Star Wars back in the day? Like, who introduced you to it? Actually, no. Let's introduce you first. What? Who are you? Like, what is your major, and how? What grade are you?
I'm a junior.
Good.
Here at Dominican.
Welcome.
I'm a business major.
Nice.
I'm on the soccer team.
Nice.
All right. Like Star Wars.
Thank you. Wow, that's a great introduction. Thank you so much. Okay, now we can talk about who introduced you to Star Wars. What kind of got you interested in the franchise?
I'd probably say my mom.
Shout out.
Alden LeVerrier.
You out there, Alden. What's good?
Well, when Star Wars first came out, she was not too hot on it.
Why?
She heard the name and was like, why is everybody going to see this movie? This sounds ridiculous. And then finally her friends convinced her to go, and she just absolutely loved it. So she was the first one that showed me A New Hope. And then
you loved it from there.
Yeah, from then on I just kind of watched the rest.
And yeah. That's great. Thank you so much for that beautiful
you
answer.
Asked.
I know. Well, that was a good answer. I was just saying thank you for it. Okay,
you
so
thank me after every one.
Maybe. We'll see what happens. What which episode is your favorite episode out of all of them? Or your top two. Give me
okay,
that.
Well then 5 and 6.
Okay.
For sure.
It's a tight race between them.
But it's close between those two.
Okay.
I go back and forth.
Do you have a favorite character?
From all of them?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Oh, that's rough.
That's rough, dude. Well, mine's Darth Maul.
Jar Jar.
Jar Jar's your favorite. Is he really?
Oh, no.
Okay, good. I was going to say.
Not even remotely.
He's pretty annoying, so.
I mean, like, I got to go Han, right?
Yeah, Han's a baller. Han's a scoundrel.
Han's
right?
Awesome.
Yeah. So if you could be any character, would you be Han?
Well, yeah.
Because I see you more of like a Jabba the Hutt character, but
no, I could see that. I could see myself as one of the Ewoks too.
They're
those cute
so
little furballs walking around.
They're so much cuter than
but, like,
you.
But I got some fight in me though.
You're right.
But I'm still cute.
But yeah, meh. I get okay. Yeah, I guess I can give you Ewoks. Jabba or Ewoks is pretty much a tie for me at this point. What did you think of the newest Star Wars movie?
Oh,
Episode 7.
Great.
We're jumping.
We're going to that? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
You thought it was great.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it.
That's all you had to say about it?
Okay, well, you didn't ask specific.
Okay, well,
ask what
specifically,
I thought about.
What parts of it were great?
Well, can I go into, like, exact specifics?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, I didn't like the fact that Han...
Well, your favorite character...
...is no longer...
...bit the bullet.
...part of the movies.
Spoiler
well,
alerts.
I guess he, you know, he could.
Did you know that Harrison Ford didn't even want to be a part of the third one?
The third one?
Yeah, as in 6...
Oh yeah, I did know
wild?
That. He wanted to die
wanted
in some heroic
off.
Fashion.
Yeah.
Which is also pretty cool.
Which is a
I also
good way to
heard
go.
I don't know if this is true, or maybe you already talked about it, that he was George Lucas's janitor.
Yeah. I also heard that. I haven't talked about that actually.
Well, there you go, there's a point.
There,
yeah,
there's something to talk about.
And
yeah.
He was super sarcastic and George Lucas
like,
liked him.
Dude,
so he's like, you wanna be part of one of the biggest movie franchises?
Do you
ever?
Wanna be a superstar? Or
yeah,
like
sure.
Nah. Absolutely. Completely into it.
So yeah, I didn't like that part about it.
No, not
but
true.
But I also have a feeling Leia's going to die.
I personally think that she should have died instead of Han.
I was going to take a guess that Han was going to die in the eighth one, I guess.
I went on Twitter before I saw 7, right before. Like, I'm sitting in the theater right before, and I
silence
opened
your
something.
Cell phones.
And yeah, silence your cell phones is right. And I opened some picture, and it was like, Han dies. That's all it said on there. The picture was white in the
Why
small
did you
screen.
Do that?
And I didn't know. I just opened it and it said
Why
Han dies.
Why would you do that?
How's a girl to know? That's my main question.
I avoided all social media.
For the whole time? When did you see it?
I saw it like 5 days after.
Oh, okay. No, that's
you saw it
for
like
5 days?
A day after.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't go on any social media.
Power to the people, man. That's strong.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, so we're going to play a little game now.
Can't wait.
I'm so excited. This is called Galactic Kiss or Diss, and if you don't know what that means, I just have picked a few characters from episode 5, and I just want to know if you would kiss them or diss them. Are you ready?
Okay, I have a feeling it's going to be mostly one of those two.
Do you understand the rules of the game?
Yeah.
It's clear? Okay, good. So the first one that I have for you is
Kiss.
Chewbacca.
Okay, Chewbacca. Oh,
kiss
yeah.
Kiss or diss?
Yeah.
You'd kiss him.
He's a, like, it'd be gross, but...
He's a likable guy.
Chewbacca's awesome.
Got a good attitude. Uh-huh. You're right. Okay, this is easy. Princess Leia. You have to think about this. The buns don't lure you in.
Okay, kiss.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Jabba the Hutt, kiss or diss?
How much is he in the fifth one?
He's not really in a lot of it. He kind of just comes in as like, yo,
more so in the sixth one.
You still owe me money. He's also in one briefly. He's in episode one just for a hot second. But,
I'm gonna go diss.
Really?
Yeah.
That hurts a little bit.
Ah!
No, don't change your answer because it hurt me. And finally, Lando Calrissian, kiss or diss? It just takes so much thought. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm trying to think about all the things he doesn't he like. He's trying to get at Leia.
Yeah,
which
and
isn't
he's
very
kind of
cool
because Han's
his boy.
Yeah, and he's kind of a tool too.
But then the sixth one. See, if we're counting six in it, yeah, it's a kiss. If we're just counting fifth, based off fifth, I don't know.
Also,
I might have
he's
to
got
diss
a
him.
Pretty dope leather jacket. In the fifth one. Oh, no, he's got a blue cape thing, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got the cape.
Yeah, he's got the blue cape. I'd
oh,
kiss him.
Oh, okay, I'll kiss
honestly,
him.
Yeah. No. All right, perfect. Thank you for playing that game. I appreciate that. But
you
I have
are
one
welcome.
More.
Okay.
It's called What Even Sound Is This? And so.
Oh, boy. All righty.
So, pretty much, I'm just going to play a clip of something making a sound from the movie. Something or someone, and you are going to guess what it is.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, here we go. First sound for you.
Oh, it's a.
Yeah, what was that?
It's Tauntaun.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Great work, man. That's yes. Killer. Okay, keep listening. Here's the second sound. Wait for it.
That was the same.
It was not the same.
That's okay.
What was that?
Is it in the fifth one?
Yeah, of course.
Then it's the Yeti.
The Yeti.
Or what is, does it have
a
name?
It's a Wampa.
Is that the name of it?
Yeah, the big white thing.
Oh, I was gonna say it sounded like a Rancor. Episode 6.
Yeah,
you
that's
what I'm
a, you're getting ahead of yourself.
It sounded similar.
Good, but you got it.
I knew
two
what
for
it
two.
Was. I didn't know the name.
That's great.
I'm embarrassed.
Very proud. At this point. All right, ready for the third one?
Well, I'm ready.
Okay. That's a good
beat. Got a nice beat to
that's
it.
That's nice. I like that. What is that?
I'm assuming it's an AT-AT.
Wow. 10 for possible 10. Okay, you got two more.
All right.
If you stay spotless, good job.
I get a kiss, Leia. Sounds like a TIE fighter to me.
Dude, your skills are impeccable. Wow, that's great. Okay, and if you don't get this one, you should just leave it now.
Well, I'm thinking I'm leaving after.
Kili kalia guga, wanjata mulira, wonki chisa crispa.
That's my boy, Java.
Yay! I wish I had an applause track that I could play right now, but I don't, so I'll just clap. Ah, you killed it. That was great.
Hey, thank you.
That was 5 out of 5. Actually, I have these really cool trading cards that I've been trying to get rid of, so ask me if you get them. Yeah, you do for winning, because you win the prize.
Wait, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I think they're from Star Wars Episode 5, too, so we're in luck. Wow. Thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome.
Lee, you animal.
Had a blast.
You dog. Blast like a TIE fighter, right?
I'm going to leave now.
Okay. All right, folks. Stay tuned for a little more It's a Trap. You are listening on radio.dominican.edu.
Lonely, the night gets me blue. Nothing to say now. Nothing to do. Nothing to say. You don't love me. You don't want me no more.
It's been years since we carved our names on a clock tower door before everything changed. We were big-eyed boys with the salt on our skin, and we'd throw our kites to the wind, and they fly on and on and on and on and on and on, on and on. Whispered soft with the torchlight on and the big light off. We were tired boys with the soap on our skin, and we'd fall asleep to the wind, and we'd dream on and on and on. We circles, you see. We go round, round the sun, in and out like the sea. I'll circle round you, you will circle round. Torchlight thins and the clock tower's gone and the big light dims. We'll no longer be boys, we'll have lines on our skin, and they'll throw our dust to the wind.
Welcome back to It's a Trap, all things Star Wars, on radio.dominican.edu. I am your host, DJ Stellar, and you're listening to the totally cool soundtrack of Star Wars Episode 5, in case you're curious about what music this is. What else would it be but music from Empire Strikes Back? Alright, so we are going to head into our final segments, starting off with a little arguing against the Empire. If you're just tuning in or you've never heard what arguing against the Empire is, let me tell you, it is when I take arguments that people have posted online and they say that things are wrong with the movie, and then I go and I look at the part of the movie and I decide whether they're right or wrong, and I try to figure out why things are the way that they are. So, for our first argument, we have this argument. Good words. Okay. In one scene, Darth Vader is seen with his helmet coming off his head and being placed back on. If he could breathe in normal air, why did he need the mask at all? Now, this is interesting because this is a scene that before the other movies came out, when all we had was 4, 5, and 6, I would watch this part with my brothers over and over again because I just really wanted to see what Darth Vader looked like under the mask. And because you have no idea, you see this big eerie mask. And then I looked into this person's question and I was like, you're so right. If he could breathe in normal air, why the big getup? Why was that necessary to sound like a scuba diver? And turns out that inside of his meditation chamber, which is what he was sitting inside when his mask was being lowered back onto him, it is hyperbaric. It's a hyperbaric chamber that charges the interior air to greater than one atmospheric pressure. So basically what that means is it allows him to remove the helmet and breathe normally for a limited amount of time. So I thought that was kind of cool because I thought that was just like a weird part that they messed up on, saying that he could breathe normal air like everybody else. But no, turns out that there was a method to their madness. So next, Luke, Leia, and Obi-Wan are all in hiding in the first movie. But in the prequels, they made it so that the Empire could find them instantly. Now, this is just, this confuses me. Honestly, I'm confused by this. Because Padme gives birth to Luke and Leia, and obviously they're the children of Padme and Anakin. And Padme dies in childbirth, like we've talked about before, and they separate the kids so that Darth Vader can't find them. But they send Leia off to be a princess, which is kind of a big deal. Like, I don't know, you wouldn't know about a princess existing. And then Luke keeps the last name Skywalker and goes back to Anakin's home planet. So I just feel like they didn't really do a very good job of actually hiding the kids, which is what their job was. So, yeah, I don't know. I think this was kind of a weird plot hole. I don't know if it's a plot hole. But I would say, yeah, it's some kind of confusing theory behind, were they really trying to be hidden, or were they, was it like a secret plan of Padme's to kind of make sure that their father would be able to find them eventually? Because I feel like Padme knew that Anakin was evil now. Also, Obi-Wan's supposed to be hiding on Tatooine, and like his outfits definitely blend into like what everybody else is wearing and also the dirt. But he's basically wearing the same uniform for all the Jedi. So it just doesn't really make any sense that if he was actually hiding from his past or whatever it was that he was hiding from, that he would wear the same outfit from as the Jedi. I don't know. That's just a thing that I don't know, dude. So that argument against the Empire, that's a pretty valid one. I'm with you, my friend. I'm confused as well. Finally, when the Millennium Falcon jumps into hyperspace at the end of the film, Leia, Luke, and Lando are in the cockpit being tossed back. In the next shot of the cockpit, however, Lando is missing. And what I found about this one was that he was actually going through the Millennium Falcon trying to find information about where to find Han at this point. So it's said that Han may have left some clues regarding where he would be taken if he was ever captured by Jabba, because he could kind of tell that Jabba was a tool bag, and he knew that something bad could happen at some point. So he kind of laid down some clues for them to find his location. And so that is what Lando was doing, so don't even worry. He wasn't even supposed to be in that shot. Don't trip, chocolate chips. Now, this isn't really an argument, but I was curious about this when I first saw the movie. And I talked about it a little bit before. So when Luke comes across the Force vision of Darth Vader and cuts off his head, and then the mask explodes, why is Luke's face seen in the mask? And the more I looked into this, the more obvious it was. Like, yeah, I should have seen that from a mile away. Anyway, it's foreshadowing Luke's tendency to anger. Now, I think this is kind of strange because I don't know if it's just the way that Mark Hamill acts or if... I don't know. But you don't really ever see Luke being that angry throughout this whole kind of... these three movies. I don't know. I don't ever see him explode like Kylo Ren does and throw things around. You don't see him brooding like Anakin did in the first two. It just... I don't know. I don't know if it's his acting style or if that's what they were going for, to just make him an undeveloped kind of character. But I just don't see it. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about that. But anyway, it's also showing his potential to join the dark side. And Yoda kind of sends him into the cave to see the vision in order for him to overcome his own darkness. So Luke thinks that Darth Vader is as evil gets, but then it turns out that he's the evil inside. So that's real deep. And his fear is not only... So it happens at that point in the movie because it shows that he has a fear of becoming evil. But if it was had it been later in the movie, it would have been a fear of him becoming like his father. So I think that they placed it in a really good spot, and yeah, I don't know. I think it was an interesting part, to say the least. But also, I was going to tell you guys about when Luke is hanging upside down and he escapes from the Wampa, and he uses the Force to grab his lightsaber. This is funny. Mark Hamill was hanging upside down, and he just threw, they had him throw his lightsaber into the snow, and then they played the footage backwards. So that's some modern day technology at work. If you had Snapchat, you could have made that happen too, because they have that nice little update now. But anyway, yeah, so that was interesting. So now I have a little clip that I want to play for you. This is from an original interview between Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford a very long time ago. This was on the Today Show, apparently, back in 1980. So let's have a listen, shall we?
Hamill is back as Luke Skywalker. Harrison Ford is back as Han Solo. And needless to say, Darth Vader is back waging more Star Wars against the rebels of long, long ago. When we last saw Luke and Han, what were they up to, and now where do we find them again?
Well, here
we are on the Today program. But where were we, when Star Wars ended?
It was the conclusion of a significant battle of the rebels.
And it ended in triumph.
And we begin the second one with yet another conflict with the Empire. But the story is really not so much about those conflicts in the second one as it is about the characters. There's more complication of the characters in the second picture.
In 1976, I signed a contract for three films, and those three films would tell the complete story. So what we have in The Empire Strikes Back is a second act, and all the problems in a second act, that is, you can forward the storyline, but you really can't solve all of the loose ends, so to speak.
So what was the talk, I can remember 3 years ago with Star Wars, when we were anticipating more and more films to come, of not a sequel, but a prequel, or...
It gets real confusing after a while, doesn't it? But basically, this is the second of three films that tell one story, and they were originally called The Adventures of Luke Skywalker, and it just was too big to get on the marquee.
It just so happens that the next trilogy after the next film will go 20 years earlier and tell of the young Alec Guinness character and how Darth Vader came to power, and then we wouldn't be involved in those because our characters were just...
So this is it for you guys?
The third one.
The third one will be?
Which we haven't made yet.
All right. Well, good. And that's not until 1980.
We started in the middle of 1981 to make it.
Not till 1980. Okay, you dogs. You dirty dogs. So that was just an interesting clip that I found between, as I said, Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford. And I don't know if you can tell by the tone, but Harrison Ford just does not seem that into the interview. I don't know if that's how he was, maybe he just had a rough night the night before. But yeah, he just doesn't sound that enamored by life to be there. So I would like to now take you into some StarTFacts. So if you are a Star Wars Episode 5 enthusiast, you can satiate that hunger, that thirst for Star Wars Episode 5 with a little prop action.
Oh, hello.
Darth Vader's here to join us, apparently. That's great. All right, so first, this is pretty cool. If you want to deck out not only yourself, but also your dog and your bedroom with Wampa gear, you can get a life-size authentic Wampa costume. And it's massive. And they give you stilts to walk in it. And it's $400. So... It's very realistic looking, and you can move your arms just like an average Wampa would. The only thing that you have to provide is the sound effect. So as long as you can shriek and make gross eating noises, you too can be a Wampa. Also, the dog costume is completely adorable, and I may be investing in one for my dog at home. I don't know. Shout out to Franklin. But they give you some little slippers for his feet and a little headpiece, and he looks like a Wampa Doge. And then finally, a Wampa rug. And this is $150, and you need it, basically, is all that I can really say about that. It looks like a legit Wampa on the ground. It's like stretched out like one of those bear ones, so the claws are next to the face. It's kind of funny. I don't know. I'd get it. Next is an original Yoda concept drawing. Now, interesting fact about Yoda, his face is actually modeled after the makeup the costume designer that was making his face at the time, and Albert Einstein. So the eyes are kind of taken from Albert Einstein, and kind of some of his facial features and his hair being all crazy like that. Anyway, the original Yoda concept drawing is going for $345 on eBay. So hop online, and you too can have a framed Yoda on your wall. On Yoda wall. All right, finally, this is... I don't know what this is. I'm going to be honest. It's a Star Wars Episode 5 Hoth Survival Kit. So again, Hoth is that snowy planet that we started on with all the blizzards. And actually, that film, that shot was taken in Norway. And there was actually a real blizzard going on at that time. And Harrison Ford could not get to set by train. He had to take a snowmobile to get there. So that's interesting also. But yeah, this is this is a Hoth survival kit. I wish that you all could see this picture, because it's a plastic bag with some plastic pieces in it and a battery sitting next to it. So I don't know. I feel like if I was giving a Hoth survival kit, there would be like a big jacket and maybe some hand warmers and like some hot chocolate packets or something. But no, it's a plastic bag and a battery. So if you ever get stranded on Norway and or Hoth on Norway, what am I saying? In Norway or on Hoth, I guess all you need is a plastic bag and a battery to survive. Congrats. But something that is kind of cool. Oh, and it's going for $50 in case you were interested by that pitch I just gave. Finally, there's some collectible glass cups, and these are kind of cool because I have some Star Wars glass cups, and they have heroes' faces on them. So there's some with Lando, and there's some with Luke on them, and they're only $4, so I'd say that's a steal. But, I mean, I can't convince you, so. Yeah, I can. You should get those. They're also on eBay. Do it. You won't. So, yeah, that kind of concludes our recap and analysis of Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. Thank you so much for listening. My name is DJ Stellar, and as I said, this has been It's a Trap, All Things Star Wars, on radio.dominican.edu. Feel free to tune in next week, same time, same place. I'll be here. And have a stellar day, friends.
This has been It's a Trap, All Things Star Wars on radio.dominican.edu. It's totes deaf, the coolest Star Wars radio show in the entire galaxy.
I mean, come on, it's probably not the coolest radio show in the entire galaxy, but I'll take it.
I'm certain it's the coolest radio show in the entire galaxy.
All right, thanks. So who even is this guy? What's that? Who is this?
I am the Father.